I think it is one of the telephony ones.
I'm Mark.
There he is. There he is. Okay. So this person kind of fell out of the sky. Jessica Jordan was supposed to be on this week, but Jessica Jordan had another presentation tomorrow, and she's in the middle of a really big deal thing. And so she just basically asked, like, can I not, can I do it later? And I said, well, let me ask. And so I asked all my scheduled speakers. None of them could change it. And so then at the last minute, this guy sends me a message and he says, how come you never talk about Five to Life? And I said, what the hell is Five to Life? And he like enlightened me with all of his enlightenings. But because he is Five to Life, he is always in trouble, so we are not going to use his real name. And I just have forgotten what I picked for the real name or for the fake name. It started with a J. It was probably four letters long. So, Hefe. No, I'm just kidding. Person that I would like to tell us all about Five to Life. Tell us all about Five to Life and about yourself.
Okay.
I should
Well,
probably
let me
have
go on.
a lot about it because we just met.
Let me try to get this just for it, but a little bit of history. I was incarcerated for possession of online child pornography, and I went to prison for 58 months. When I got out of prison, I think I believe it was around 2019, I started therapy. And that was a journey in itself. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with therapy. Therapy pretty much is consisting of filing or filling out a weekly log. This log consists of whatever you want, police contact, if you watch pornography, pretty much incriminating questions. And then, thus, when we go into group therapy, we go ahead and talk about whatever feelings we talk about, do assignments, and also fulfill polygraphs and have one-on-ones, as such I did during the time, which I did about 2.5 years down in this therapy, one of the therapy places. Well, see, and what my problem is, I have got a lot of health and mental health issues. So for me, sitting down in front of the polygraph was a challenge for me for quite some time. And I had breathing problems. I got asthma and I had Barrett's esophagus. So I kept failing the polygraph. And as time went on during that, I noticed that the niceness of the therapy people and probation was starting to get more aggressive. And I was wondering, is like, why are they getting nasty? So they wanted to, if I fail the polygraph, they'll have you on a one-on-one and they'll ask you a whole bunch of questions. Why are you failing it? Why are you not passing the polygraph? What they do is they gaslight you to think that you have some sort of control over it. So I tried to tell them everything I possibly could, but it seemed like they're coming at me in a threatening manner. It also felt like they're causing a lot of emotional distress, which I ended up in suicide watch. They took me out to a halfway house because I couldn't pass the polygraph, and this is their punishment system. And they threatened me with charging me more money. However, during this time, I knew in the back of my head this will come up. I knew because if I kept failing, I would end up back in prison via paper fabrication. So what I did is I started recording my sessions. I started recording my sessions with an MP3 player, with sessions with my probation officer, sessions with my therapist. Because according to them, I was doing good, but until I started filling that polygraph, I wasn't doing so good magically. For some reason I wasn't understanding the material. I wasn't practicing the material. Even though I was a good student, I just kept failing. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't learning. Whatever gaslighting technique they needed to do. So I finally got fed up with it. I went back to court and I tried to present these recordings to the judge because by then they kicked me out of one therapy. They put me in another therapy session, which I recorded the intake. Well, long and behold, that day when they found out about the recordings and my little MP3 player, that same exact day, The new therapy place kicked me out because I had a recording of the intake, and they didn't know I had recordings of the previous conversation with my PO and my therapist. So I tried to present these recordings to the judge, and the judge didn't want nothing with it. So what did they do? They confiscated the MP3, threw me in prison for a violation for 7 more months. Now, during that time, during the conversation in court, they got upset because I had a group recording where I admitted that I was having suicidal thoughts. Okay, so I told them, yeah, that I'll delete that recording. Well, they violated me anyways. I went to prison. Now, during that time when I went to prison, I wanted to find out what's going on. And I remember my judge, she said, don't worry about it. She told the prosecution, we have the video. I'm like, oh, it kept running through my mind. What do you mean she has the video? So for the 7 months, I've been going through court cases and court cases, looking through whatever I could find of how anything works. How does this work? And then I kept coming across something that was called Five to Life. And I remember because during my plea deal that I signed, it also said life. In reality, Five to Life is 5 to 20 years. Well, I started putting the puzzle together, and I noticed that how the system works is that what I call therapy interrogation. Now, therapy interrogation is a system where they go ahead, and obviously, if you have some firsthand experience, they will try to be your friend. They will try to get any kind of information, disclose what they call disclosures. And they compile these disclosures for U.S. probation. Now, these disclosures are called factors. They get the factors, they file the reports. Now, here's the problem. If they think you're not giving enough information, this is when they start kind of messing your head. This is when they start threatening you with financial punishments, or they start taking you to the halfway house. They need that information. And so, what do? They take you to the polygrapher. Because the polygrapher gives you more emotional distress in order to confess to any kind of disclosure slash factor. Okay? And when they think you're lying, or for whatever reason, they will confront you. Are you sure? Because it looks like you have a problem with this question. So what they're doing is they're actually
Oh,
telling you,
wait,
I'm
so
sorry.
you don't have to, they don't, they're not seeing anything yet. They just tell you they're seeing something and freak you out?
Yes.
Maybe? That's, oh,
Yes,
that's evil.
it is. And this is where it's on. This is where I had court cases. I found that they cannot do this because what this method does is they undermine your Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights to trick you with the polygraph. The polygraph, we both know, it doesn't work. It's a psychological tool to interrogate you. So now, during that time, I looked at the polygrapher and I looked at the whole custodial environment. It's supposed to create a custodial environment so you feel trapped as if you're talking to police. Now, the polygrapher has a camera. Now, that camera is looking at you because the therapy, the probation, make sure you pass your poly, make sure you pass your poly. This creates more emotional distress where you feel like you should confess to something so you won't go back to prison. Now, that camera, their recording is going to be sent to probation. That probation analyzes that footage to see if you gave out a disclosure slash factor. Then they collect the factors, then they send it to the judge. Look, judge, see, this guy keeps confessing to something, and we think he should expand his probation. We think he should just go back to prison. Now, and that's how it works because it's called 3553A factors, if you want to look that up, USC code. Now, the judge will gather these factors, and with your video that you just confessed to, whether it be the truth or not, they will use this video to help you dig your own grave. You tell your sins, they sharpen their knives. Now, my argument with that is that when you introduce new factors into probation beyond your initial crime, That, therefore, in itself is a trial of 5 to 20 years. So not only did you go to prison with your plea deal for your initial crime, they say that probation is part of the initial crime. No, because if that was true, why is probation introducing new factors to the case? Because 5 to life is a second trial.
And this is
This is.
happening. It didn't just happen to you. You're seeing it happen all over the place.
Oh, I'm surprised nobody figured this out years ago, but this has been happening for 40 years now. So
Wow.
this is against Apprendi. This is why they said that 3583E K is unconstitutional, because that probation led to a new case. Now, my argument is 30 USC Code 3583E is also unconstitutional. Because listen, guys, what they're doing is they're tricking you, they're forcing you to confess to disclosures factors that are probably not real. Because if in order it to be a factor, it has to be measured by a jury. And if it
Oh.
has to be measured by a jury, you have to have an indictment, you have to plead your fifth right. In other words, it's a whole new trial.
And how many people are actually getting sent to whole new trials versus just getting put back in jail?
That's the thing. When you confess to, see, this is how they did it. 5 to life, they say it's part of the initial
Oh,
crime
they
that
just
you
put it in
did.
the rules. They put it in the
Yeah.
statute so they can just.
So in other words, then this is what happened with K. K is unconstitutional. E is unconstitutional. So what they're doing is the judge relies on the footage from the polygraph to lock you up and doesn't have to file much paperwork to get it done. And if
So
you look at the
how do people not? I thought when they asked you to tell any new thing you did, they promised you they weren't going to get you in trouble for it. Is that true?
But that's, see, here's the thing about that. Is the prosecution really going to give you immunity? They say that. And technically, it's true, but it's not.
Yeah,
Because
it's true,
they
but it's
sweep.
not enforced. It's just like things you can do, and it's illegal, but no one's gonna. Like, no one's gonna
Yes.
bust you for taking weed in an airplane. This
Yeah.
is not gonna
It's
happen.
here's the thing. It's all about gaslighting. It's all about word. And this is part of the cruel and unusual punishment. Because what they do is they sweep these factors under 5 to life. That's what 5 to life is. It's a backup trial.
Yeah, that's really terrible.
Yeah.
That's really terrible.
So,
Now, polygraphs have been challenged by the courts, and my impression is that they've never gotten any relief from, even though no one else uses the polygraph, lawyers don't use it, and like you can't use it in the real world. They don't use it for hiring and stuff like that because everybody knows it's bullshit. But somehow they're willing to do all kinds of shitty things to us, like ankle monitors and just all the mean things they do to us, they can get away with because nobody's allowed to have any empathy for someone on the registry. Because if, God forbid, you have empathy for someone on the registry in public, someone like jumps down your throat and tells you you're terrible. It's just awful. I
Yeah,
don't
it's awful.
I'm wide out. I have these conversations all the time, all over the place, but I think they're scary conversations to have because people are real assholes. And honestly, I think if we spent, I feel like what we've been doing, where we just like try to go, win a case here and win a case there and win a case here. And meanwhile, states are making things worse and worse. I think we got to start having conversations with both, the little girl who got touched by her uncle when she was 7 and didn't hate her uncle when she was 7. But then for 40 years, she thinks just nasty things about that uncle, and she reads, other people's pains, and she just thinks about that trauma and feeds it and feeds it and feeds it. And by year 40, she wants all of y'all to have you be castrated because she's just fed it too long. I think we need to find better ways to react to the young people who get damaged, and we haven't figured out how to stop that. And also, the other thing is the adult people who are walking around like noticing things, their brains just shut down. And as soon as they see some evidence of abuse, they freak out and they just can't sit anymore. It's a bad idea. It's bad.
Well, I think here's the thing, is that I'm trying not to mention all the cases that try to fight the registry are doing it wrong. My article will talk about ways on how to fight this. Keep in mind, all these methods that they're using is cruel and unusual because they're bypassing the Sixth Amendment, Fifth Amendment. There's some cases where they try to argue the Fifth Amendment, but they didn't do it correctly. My article talks about the factors that need to be argued, and anybody could read this and get this information,
Okay,
and they can
so
act.
I would like to connect you to my friend. I have a friend who is he's like a pre-law student and he talks law, law, law. He understands law stuff. You two should connect because he does a really good job of he's not like signed off yet. He hasn't passed all the classes yet, but he knows a lot of things and you two should talk. I know a lot of lawyers. If you guys can come up with a thing that could really win some cases, we've got lots of great lawyers. We've
Yeah,
done like
my
this for the
most
last month.
I have no problem. Most of my arguments are accessible in antipolygraph.org under the message
Okay.
board.
Okay. Well, I'm
And
gonna also give him your number or vice versa. So I'll have him read it first. He typically, so I ask him a lot of favors. I make him call a lot of people and he typically doesn't want to invest a whole lot of time until he thinks you're he thinks it's a reasonable case, you know what I mean? So I don't know that I will be able to talk him into reading, pages and pages of stuff, but talking, maybe. I don't know. He likes talking.
Yeah, I advise people to visit the website and they can read the article. I'm trying to get organizations to post this so at least they know how to protect themselves against this.
Well, he doesn't have a 5-life sentence, so he probably won't need what you're doing. But as far as could this win a case, he's studied all the which kinds of cases win, which kinds of cases lose. So he's very in touch with what works.
More the
Okay, so could I open the floor for some questions, perhaps, or comments? Would that work for you? I'm going to just open the floor
Oh,
for questions.
yeah, that'd be fine.
All right. So I'm going to just remind you that if you go down to the bottom, I think you go to the React button, and one of the lowest ones is Raise Hand. People have been sending, a lot of people have been sending me really insightful messages, but just to me. And I could paste them into the chat myself, but I think you should just retype them so that everyone can read your awesome. Yes, he does have a lot of posts to the article. Forward to your email. Okay. So I think, James, in the message I sent out about this talk, I think there were links to both of the things. I think there was a link to the audio recording of his polygraph and his therapist. And I think there was a link to the website where he posts all this stuff, polygraph.org, I think he called it.
It's an anti-polygraph.org under the message board. And please forgive me my grammar. And it's I actually wrote this in prison, and I printed out flyers in prison, and I wrote it
Wow.
also. Yeah, I actually told everybody, and I also wrote this in the halfway house, so I was scared out of my mind for them to pick me up. So I hurried along the article, so forgive me about that.
Wow, I'm very impressed. And honestly, the number of awesome things that people have done in prison, how did you do that when they're, aren't they like looking under your over your shoulders all the time? How'd you not get in trouble? This is
Well, in
very
prison, that's exactly what I did. I was scared out of my mind, and actually that's what they called me back in court because they found out the government knows about anti-polygraph now. They tried
I
to
remember because they tried to take your device away and you said, well, you can take the device away, but it's already on the cloud.
Exactly, and it's on the court case, and everything's there. And I told them it's my First Amendment right, and they couldn't do a darn thing. And
Yeah,
they
that's
really
awesome.
don't like me. They hate
I
me.
can imagine.
Well, I'm not gonna sit down swinging. I'm swinging. Forget this. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Know. So, but yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, I'm not on actual computer. I do have a restriction, so I'm on the telephonic. So my
That's all right.
apologies. So, but yeah, I mean, if you got any questions, if you could get on the phone or vocal and vocalize it, and I'll answer what I can.
Greg, are you listening to this conversation? Okay, good. I would love a question. Okay, so James, one of the Jameses, I think James T, has been chatting me all sorts of like really insightful things. Can I read them out loud? Because he just sent them just to me, and then no one gets to read them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At one point, James said, "It's as deceptive as government corruption in the sex registry ruse." That's the truth. I mean, and the number of times. So earlier, you talked about, well, yeah, officially, you know, the statute says that they're not allowed to whatever. Something says they're not allowed to tell you that you're failing the test. You know that your thing is jumping out of line when you're really not. But just because something's illegal doesn't mean that judges do something about it. So Bonnie Burkhart, the author of Manufacturing Criminals, she does all this stuff about ICAC and these. I think ICAC is mostly porn, but maybe they do. I don't remember. Anyway, she's gone to a judge before and say like, here is the federal statute that they are breaking when they did this thing, and here's the federal statute that they're breaking when they did this thing, and the judge just said, I mean, yeah, but like they caught a bad guy, so we are not going to push. They didn't do anything, right? The fact that the cops were breaking federal law didn't bother the judge. It's just disturbing.
Well, see, here, I got a comment about that too. I understand for the last, ever since Smith versus Bell, I know there's a lot of heat, but right now is the time to educate the public. Right now,
100%.
Americans are seeing the corruption. They're seeing,
100%.
noticing that when people have a title, a label, their rights get restricted, and I'm sorry, whether you're political or not, Trump's doing a good job on that, and I'm
Yeah.
glad he's there, because
Wait, what's
sometimes
again?
we need. Sometimes he's in the White House, and the way he's treating the American people are starting to see how titles and labels work, and because of the Constitution overrides everything, obviously. Now we have to go up to the Supreme Court. Now, nevertheless, even if we lost, the word is out there. It's not about convincing judges. It's about convincing the public that it's okay to say a 7-year-old raped somebody. Let's be real. Educate the people. Talk to them about this.
Yeah,
Because
I think
it
that's the thing
always.
we don't do. We don't talk to anyone really. Like, sex is such a scary subject for most people in their family that like I knew better than to ask my mom a question that had something to do with sex. It's a terrible idea. And it's the opposite of what we need to be doing. We need to be de shaming, taking the shame out of it and just recognizing that everybody's body is built with hormones that make them feel sexual, and it's just the way it is. And just like, let's talk out loud. Let's talk about boundaries, and let's talk about, you know, being a good partner. And but we don't talk about
Yeah.
anything.
Well, I've been preaching a lot. And that's one of the reasons why they hate me so much. But I talk to everybody about it, and I don't really care if people know. They could think whatever they want to think. But the more
I talk
you
about it
keep,
too. I talk about it all the time.
yeah, the
And
more
I've
we
got a.
hide it. No, yeah. I'm just saying is that the more we hide in a cave and act like leopards, we're going to be treated as such.
Yep, I agree.
And it's like, that's the problem, is that, it started with the Jews, it started with the gays, it started with this and that. If you get a minority group, any kind of group, and you give them a label and teach the public how to hate them,
Yep.
they're going to act accordingly. Now, if we turn the table around, the perception from the people to the government will follow. It's not so much as changing the government, so much as changing how people view it.
No, I'm 100% with you on that, because I think that we're not getting anywhere. There's no politician in their right mind that's gonna say, oh, the registry is pretty mean. It's actually pretty ineffective. So if it's okay with y'all, I want to take it down. Like, nobody's gonna do that. So we have to, and in fact, they've never changed any rules. They didn't give women the right to vote because they realized that women are human beings that should be able to vote. They gave women the right to vote because people pitched a fit. And I really think we need to start pitching a fit here, because when every time we are silent, these haters groups, like, just since Trump got elected, I probably have gotten five calls from people who somebody went on the internet and said, like, let's attack all those pedophiles, or said a bunch of nasty stuff, posted pictures of people. And one of the cities, a guy who was a bartender at a Buffalo Wild Wings. He started a group called Paducah Area Offender Awareness, and he just basically memorized all the guys who had this label. And then anytime anybody on this group, and there was a lot of people on this group, anytime anybody saw one of those people, like, out in public, they'd all go harass them. This guy, this bartender at Buffalo Wild Wings, beat the shit out of the guy who called me on the helpline. Beat the shit out of him. He went to the hospital. He got pictures taken of it. He's got a report about it. He filed a police report. The police just didn't give a shit. They wouldn't bother. Yeah, so he beat the shit out of you. Oh, well. And I'm like, you'd think we could at least, like, sue Buffalo Wild Wings. That's a pretty shitty thing to have happen to you.
The best thing to do with that too is not just rely too much on the government, but to also speak out. Most of our, I hate to say it, most of our guys are too scared.
No, for
I
sure they're
mean,
scared, because people, that's what I like about my, I'm gonna send you my I got distracted. I'm gonna send you my speech I gave at the DC vigil, where I explained kind of my whole idea. And you can listen to my speech. I'm gonna send it to you as a speech and also as a video, like, typed and whatever, so you can do it either way.
That's the best thing is to most of my guys, I tried to convince them. They what probation now is, at least on my sector, they're trying to convince these guys that hey, if you just follow the rules, we're starting to let people out for probation. Well, here's the thing about that statement that I'm not crazy about. One is that they're trying to gaslight us to obey. Two, they really mean it because they're starting to get scared. But see, and here's the thing. This is what people don't understand, and especially any, it doesn't matter if you're SO, a registered felon, or you're a regular felon, or you're black, white, it doesn't matter. The best prison in the world doesn't have bars, doesn't have concrete,
Well, the thing that's the
the
scariest for me is, like, we already imprison more than, like, 10 times more than any other country. When you sort the United States by state, treat each state like a little bitty country, almost all of the United States are above the first other country below us by a factor of 10. So, we're already incarcerating way too many people. And being incarcerated, I don't care what you did, being incarcerated is awful. You lose touch with your family, you lose a job, you lose your house. Like, it's awful. Why do we want to do that more?
Well, that's a funny thing is I'm still looking for a job, and most of the time I just get denied because of my background. So
Oof.
yeah, it's tough. But that's the thing is that people don't understand that you don't have to go through a big, the best prisons are ones that you can't feel and you can't see and you can't touch. That's what
Yeah.
Five to Life means. It's a
Yeah.
prison that you can't feel, touch, or see.
Yeah.
And when people understand that, and when our men and women and children in this case are being
Yep.
registered,
Yep.
understand that to stand up and fight back.
Yep. Well, I mean, I understand why people have been scared to do it, because the people have been awful. Like, people who weren't on the registry have been killed by vigilantes because they thought they were on the registry. So
Well,
I understand why those people are scared. I mean, I encourage them not to be scared. My partner talks, he talks about the registry out in the in public, and everybody we know knows he's on the registry, and nobody mean to us about it anymore. But really, I think what we need is, every one of you has somebody that loves you. Hopefully, you have more than one somebody that loves you, and we need all those people, the moms, the dads, the girlfriends, the sisters, the best friend from high school. We need those people to start talking out loud to us, in our behalf, on our behalf, because some of us have literally, like, there was a guy who gave a speech at the DC Vigil who had been someone tried to kill him once. They just looked his name up on the registry and showed up with a gun. So yeah, it's terrifying.
From a spiritual standpoint of what I went through is that I signed up to come to this earth, and to me, I know we're all suffering one way or another, but when we suffer, we grow. And when we grow, we learn to love ourselves. So get away from all the negativity. I know they're going to tell you to hate yourself. Don't fall for it. Love yourself.
Yep,
Because no matter
absolutely.
how many therapy they take you through, they want to try to help you, quote unquote, it's not going to work. You got to love yourself. And when you love yourself, life starts to make sense. So embrace the suffering. I know it sucks. I know. But you'll learn to love yourself. That's the whole purpose of life.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna introduce you to my friend Joey. You have Joey energy, and you guys will get along. You should know each other. He is also very much
Definitely.
like, we gotta come out of our shells. We gotta just go, be ourselves, love ourselves. Yep, 100% out in the world. Okay,
Definitely.
so many things keep happening, and I can barely read them because I'm old and my vision work. Okay, advice to navigate an SOT counselor who is working with the PO to get you out of the group. Get you out of group. Navigating a sex offender treatment, I guess, counselor who is working with the parole officer to kick you out of group. Greg, what? How do you navigate a counselor in group who's working with a PO to get you kicked out?
So I guess the question is like, what is your motivation to do that? Why are you being kicked out of group? Are you,
Here, sit right there.
well, I'm not a professional, but I did spend 10 years in group. So, and you can get group kicked out of group for a lot of different reasons. One is failure to attend. You have to attend, and at your prescribed meetings. The other thing is you have to participate in group, meaning like when you go there, you have to talk. I've seen guys get in big trouble because they thought erroneously that all they had to do was attend and just sit, and they'd sit for an hour and a half and not say anything beyond check-in, and that also got them in trouble. Other guys would get kicked out of group because they were essentially deemed non-compliant by their PO. You can be non-compliant for a lot of reasons. I knew a guy that kept, he could not pass a drug screening. He kept claiming he wasn't smoking pot. I can understand a false positive once, but five false positives. Listen, I was an athlete and I work in transportation. I take a lot of drug screenings, and I took a lot of drug screenings in halfway house. False positives are really rare. And so he had like a dozen of them. And so that could get you kicked out of group. I guess the question is, how do you manage this? You need to find out why they're trying to get you out of group. Because I just outlined some things like, this is why they're doing that. Are you doing something that's making them, are you saying things in group, or is your behavior, are you coming up against your probation officer about things you're doing? And I don't know. That's what you need to find out is like, why? Someone's got a hand up there, kiddo.
Good. All right, we'll be back. James, hurrah. Now let me unmute you. Can we just make them be able to unmute themselves, or is that not allowed?
No, it looks like the host has to unmute us. Thank you for the opportunity. I put also in the chat, my situation probably not completely unique, but unique to me, of course. Failure to admit, I'm under appeal. In Wisconsin, we have what's called a Tate waiver, which basically says that your statements in group cannot be used in a criminal proceeding and no derivative use. They will not give me this waiver. I have done my offense cycle. I show up every week. I participate actively. I do excellent with my homework, objectively excellent. But like I said, failure to admit, and they've started to really tighten the noose. I know that the PO and the counselor are starting to have conversations. I've been read some of those emails. And so they're sort of whittling me down and trying to force me out of group because they understand that I'm not going to admit to something. I am factually innocent. And then the legal, standard also was fudged pretty
Were you
poorly. And
an
so
Alford
legally and
plea?
factually innocent.
Were you an Alford plea or a plea deal or
No,
what?
I went to a bench trial, trial by judge
Oh.
instead of jury,
Okay.
partly because I saw the jury pool, but partly in deference to the alleged victims,
Yeah.
embarrassment and stuff like that. But
Yeah. That's
without
an
going
interesting
into
thing. That can be, I never witnessed that particular instance, but I kind of got, yeah, if you went into group and you don't do the check-in, hi, my name is Greg. I'm here because I downloaded child pornography, et cetera, etc. If you're like, I'm not doing that, that's like A number one, not compliant. Like, nope, I'm not guilty. I didn't do it. That's you're not gonna get far in group, and that's just a fact. You're guilty. And it's frightening, and it was terrifying to me because okay, I was willing to admit guilt in the download of child pornography because here's what it happened, right? But the thing is, I didn't want to confess to being a pedophile because I'm not, and I had things to back that up. I had examinations and what, but I do know guys in group suffer because sometimes they are being asked to say things like that, and they don't want to say it. They're like, I'm not attracted to minors. It's just like, whatever. Yeah. Mario,
Understood.
you're going to say
Yeah.
something?
Thank you for that input. And I have passed a polygraph. I was hopeful that the presenter tonight could speak to that because what I saw in the email was that they're upping the standard or they're civilly committing people or they're extending probation or things. And that's literally what I'm going through right now. So maybe he could speak to that also, but thank you.
Yeah, and
So
also I'm
great.
going to put in the chat, Mario's going to go next, but I'm going to put in the chat that if you're having a hard time passing polygraphs, Greg, my partner who was just on for a minute, he has a recording on our website, which I'll put in the little chat box, where he learned the process of how to breathe this way. Before he got arrested, he learned this as an athlete, and he found it really useful to him as an athlete because it helped him like not get nervous about the people around him, but just like do his best race. And he'd been in a couple different kinds of sport ball. And then when he started doing polygraphs, he was like, oh, guess what I know how to do? I know how to let my breathing control my pulse and all the things that are measurable about me. If you control your breathing, the rest of it just falls in line. And the reason that Mario couldn't do that is because if you have asthma, you probably are not allowed to just like count to five and then think about it for 5 more minutes. Like you can't do that.
I just like to comment on that. You could always say if you have a problem saying if you were tried and convicted of possession or downloading, you could say that in group because technically that's true. And that'll also satisfy you as far as because there are guys out there who don't really want to say it, but technically, if you're tried and convicted in doing that, say it that in that manner, because technically that's true. And if they say, well, you're not doing good in the programming because this and that, it can mean two things. You really are not trying to give effort in group. You got to tell them what they want to hear, but you got to know the boundaries of you giving them new information that will lead to the case. And it will, believe me, because unless you got immunity papers from the actual prosecution, more than likely nobody has, they can do whatever they want because that's what Fight of Life is. So tell them what they want to hear. You are also there because, like I admit, I had a addiction to pornography and jailbait, teen webcams, okay? And I admit that I was wrong in my factor. But tell them that. Tell them, discuss that. Because you need to talk to other people because this is a factor in your case because you ignored and I ignored my boundaries when we're watching pornography. I mean, let's be honest. That's true. That's what they want to hear. So,
yeah.
Yes, I was addicted to pornography. I was tried and convicted of downloading possession of child porn or whatever your case is. If you want to go that route, it's up to you. Because keep in mind with these therapists, no matter what you say, they're going to find some kind of thinking error or factor in it. They're going to find it either way. And you can't satisfy.
They're not wired to want to help you and make you do better and improve your life. When I think about like ICE right now, you think about like what kind of person of all the jobs they could do, did they choose, I want to kick people out of this country. Those people are already naturally likely to not like you. Parole officers are naturally likely to not like us.
Yeah.
It's rare to get a really good parole officer.
I mean, you're lucky if you get a good probation officer, but they say they're trying to, I don't know what they mean by trying to get you out, kick you out of the program. I don't know, but you got to keep in mind too that the probation officer will tell the polygrapher, hey, even if that person might have excellent breathing, but they're called initial questions. There's usually two initial questions there in a polygraph, and that is going to directly, pretty much black and white, are you downloading again? And then you're going to take the test. You're going to have excellent breathing. You're a Buddhist by now. Oh, well, I don't know. I'm getting some bad readings. Can you think of, or do you know, when they follow some kind of question, what they're doing is they're giving you a subconscious probing question because they want you to think of something else. They know you breathe you breathe good. They know. They don't care. It's about deception.
Yep.
That's what the polygraph is deception, and they want to incriminate you.
Yep. Yep, they do. All right, I'm going to paste in the chat. This is the how to, right, they're wired to mislead others. Right, because if your job, if what you do all day is deal with people, you know, on the registry or deal with people who got out of prison or whatever, that's what you do all day, you're not like wired to be like all soft and lovey. You're wired. And in fact, their job incentives, they don't get like bonuses for every one of their guys who does great. They just know that if one of their guys gets sent back and they didn't catch it themselves, they're going to be in trouble, right? So all they're really worried about is not, you know, you guys not screwing up. And that's not a very effective, you know, especially given all the ways that we make it difficult for people on the registry. You know, we make it hard for you to get a job. We make it hard for you to find, you know, friends and lovers. We make it hard for you to find a place to live. You know, we make it hard for your employers to be generous enough to give you another chance, you know, because we make the employer go on this registry. So people are going to be hating toward that. It's awful.
Yeah. The probation is not there to be your friend. They're not there for you. They're there for the so-called community to protect them from you. The whole reason behind therapy is to soften you up, butter you up, make you give you some BS illusion that it's for your health or whatever. And maybe to a point it is, but it's still therapy interrogation. They are mandatory orders. They have to report this. Hey, did you ever notice that when you sign up for therapy, it's not under your name? Did you notice that it's under probation? There's a reason for it.
This is an important, you're bringing up an important thing, my friend, that, and I think we had this discussion the other night. I looked up the program statement, had the federal seal on it and everything. And when you're in therapy, you are not the client. The government is the client. And this came into play because I wanted to use some statements that were made by my therapist regarding my own alcohol use. And this was related to my career as a pilot. So I needed a couple of different backing from therapists saying, yes, Greg does not abuse alcohol. And that was to the because this was a known fact by the court, but I needed some backing up on that. And it was like trying to pull teeth because normally, say if you see a therapist and they could make a statement like that to say a federal agency like the FAA, all you have to do is sign a piece of paper that says, yes, my therapist can talk to you. Not so in this therapy, because you're not the client. The government is the client. So I cannot release my records because I'm not the client. They don't belong to me. They belong to the government.
That's obnoxious.
Yeah. Good times.
That's what I'm talking about, five to life. This is what this is, to incriminate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. James T, who texts me, says, good word incrimination. There has to be some type of punishment. But when intimidation becomes punishment, then we have to stand up to corruption. Yeah, I mean, and that's essentially where I'm at. Like, I look at, what people should really understand. If I'm doing my job, I need people to understand that what they should be afraid of isn't those red dots on the map. It's like getting put on the registry or having their kid or their partner or their dad or their grandpa get put on the registry, because the number of your like peers who are looking at porn, it's high. A lot of people look at a lot of porn. And in my opinion, the people who are actually looking for like kiddie porn or like, child abuse porn, I mean, those people need some help for sure. But I suspect if that's what they're looking for, they're protecting themselves because they know what they're looking for is illegal. And they know that that people get caught for this. Like, they're probably using VPNs or, going through, Freenet or whatever those things are that protect you from them knowing what you're doing. But regular people who are just out there looking at regular porn, like, our bodies are wired to think teenagers are attractive because when we were a teenager is when we were the most horny. Like, you don't just unwire that later. If you thought teenagers were attractive when you were a teenager, you probably thought they were attractive when you were 21 too. And we need to help people protect themselves from the things that stupid teenagers do. We need to help them use VPNs if they're going to search for porn, because I'm telling you what, those cops are not taking any of this porn down. Oh, they'll know it's there. They'll leave it there. They'll let it just multiply because they know what it looks. They can see it when it whizzes past on these cables, and then they just put you in the list and they come and arrest you. So we need to teach people how to protect themselves from the porn. We need to teach them that cops are on adult dating sites with a picture of an adult with an adult age, but then when they start chatting with you, all of a sudden they're 15, come play with me, daddy, or something. And like, kids need to understand that, we all have a
Here's
thorn in the
what
flesh.
I'm, yeah.
I don't know what
What
that
I'm
means.
worried about is that these, okay, so when I was in prison, the rise of child pornography cases and the rise of pornography, period, is going up. That's just a factor. And the age
Can
is
I ask
also
a
going
question about
down.
that?
Sure.
I often wonder. So I read a book one time. I think it was called The War on Sex. I think that was it, or maybe it was the R Roger Lancaster one. But I read this book that said that basically the cops will admit that. Oh, Candace, it's under. Sometimes it'll be under more and then react. Okay. Anyway, it said that pretty much all the underage, like the prepubescent, the stuff that people think is really the most gross, all the prepubescent porn in the United States is basically leftovers from when they raided the like really seedy area of New York right before the 1972 Democratic Convention, that they snagged a bunch of like prepubescent child porn, that they still leave it up on the internet so people can find it. And that now, every time you find one of those things, like if you get convicted of seeing that image, they pay a fee to that grown ass woman who was in the pictures all those years ago. So basically, cops are selling porn. They're selling the child porn, or somehow,
Yeah.
like they're mediating the sale of child porn. I would kind of like to know, the question I was going to ask is, do you have a feeling for how many people, like what the ratio is of like post-pubescent, you just couldn't tell a 15-year-old from an 18-year-old versus like, you know, 7-year-olds and like child abuse images and stuff like that. Do you know anything about that ratio?
So I don't know, and I was actually talking to my friend about this, is that with the advent with our food and the growth of our food and all the hormones they're putting in our food, they're actually making these 12-year-olds look like they're 15.
Oh,
Because
100%.
if you,
I had a daughter who hit puberty at 11.
and that's now to a man, now we're actually finding it harder to identify prepubescent among the post-pubescent, and it's starting to get dangerous. It really is, and the courts are not considering these factors, nor do they want to, because that's part of the stigma, is that it's easier to say and tell people you're a pervert, get out of here,
Yep.
than be
Yeah,
open-minded. These are factors.
the registry, all the parts of the registry for the people who are actually worried about, right? The people who are touching their 7-year-olds or whatever, those people need help. They really need help. And right now, they can't get help. There is not a single place that is safe for someone to go if they're having, and in fact, we've had, I know of at least two cases, one in Illinois and one in, I think it was Wisconsin or Minneapolis, where someone went to their therapist and said, "Hey, therapist, I really need some help. I'm having these un I don't want these thoughts in my head, but I'm having these, you know, sexual thoughts about my 7-year-old niece or whatever." The therapist called the cops and had the person put, they couldn't put him in prison because they hadn't committed a crime. They put him in shadow prison, or what they call civil commitment, where you've got none of the due process rule lot laws. You got no, you know, you have to prove it beyond the shadow of doubt. It can just be like, you know, it's kind of close. That they can pretty much just screw with you. We've had two different people on this show talking about those civil commitment facilities. It's just terrifying. It's like one flew over the cuckoo's nest. More people die in those places than ever get out. It's really, and they happen in 30 of the 50 states, and most people I talk to have never heard of that because they keep them so quiet and so, you know, they're not letting these guys out, and you know, we're meeting them in person. They're keeping them locked up for their entire lives. Okay,
Yeah.
Candace has a question or a comment. I can't remember, and I unmuted her.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you. So there's two things. One of them, compass notes. As we were going through and talking about all the different things, especially with SOT group, I have a brother that was incarcerated for 15 years, is on the registry for life, and was on, when he got out, he was placed on the bracelet, lifetime GPS, when I was told he would not be placed on this. He gets out, they put him on, and thankfully, after 2 years of fighting, we did get him off. Whole nother story. But within that whole time frame, I was constantly, every month, would get his compass notes. Everybody that is on extended supervision has the right to have their compass notes. And what that is basically, it's any communication between the DCC staff and your PO. Anything that you email in or you have any conversations with your PO goes into this compass note. I
Wow.
learned a lot by pulling those. I did open records request for those every month, and I still do. He's been out almost 3 years. And then, so that really is helpful because you do get a lot of information. The other
Yeah.
thing I wanted to comment on is the fact that the SOT group, when my brother had to go through this, he was a level one. There's different levels. And I found out that it's kind of like education only. With that being said, it's it is a little more to it, but I finally fought and got him where he was already seeing somebody because he knew he would need help to adjust after 15 years in prison. And he started seeing this guy, and he was able to do Randy's, the SOT group. And what happened is, after all of that, he worked with this guy for a year, even though he only needed, I believe it was 18 sessions. And after all of that, we then were told that he is not completed yet. After the DCC approved this, because he's a level one, they ended up saying now he didn't complete it, even though his provider gave him all the information. They're saying it wasn't enough information provided. So now they want him to go through and see his a doctor of their choosing. And
I think I hear this all the time. I take the calls from the 1-800 line. Yeah. And I hear all the time people say, like, they're basically being forced to go pay for more services.
Yes.
It's because you just follow the money.
All about the money, exactly. And it's so maddening. Yeah. But, you know, I heard somebody say that the DCC doesn't like them or the DOC staff. I get it. They don't like me either because of what they did to my brother when they slapped him on lifetime GPS unlawfully. I said, you know what? You guys created me. Now you have to put up with me.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
So I appreciate, you know, hearing all the messages and the story was outstanding. So it's so many people that are harmed by this on a daily basis. And absolutely, I love your message saying, you know, for the caller, to say that, you know, believe in yourself and stay strong and don't believe the lies that they want you to believe that you're trash.
Yeah.
So
self-love is the answer.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I don't know if some of you have probably come on all the time and I say the same thing over and over and it drives you nuts. But if you guys have not, if you know anybody who's looking at too much porn, we have a friend named Jessica Jordan. She's on YouTube. She was the one who was supposed to come on tonight, and now she's going to come on, you know, probably in maybe a month, couple months. And she is a therapist who basically, her product, you know, her, what she does is she helps people quit watching so much porn. And she's got a whole system on YouTube, where you basically, you can kind of do the free version of it and say, oh yeah, I need this. She's awesome.
I think, guys, if the thing about pornography, if I may add a little bit to that, is that there's so much dopamine that goes through pornography. Think of it this way. In the old days, you had sexual relations with one woman. And one person, it was one face, one body. Versus pornography, you could look at 150 women in less than 10 minutes.
Well, but it's a different part of your brain. Like being with a person is a different, it's a different, you know, different things coming out. So if you're watching porn all day, your brain gets used to seeing these images. And porn is not sex. Like, it's not the same. Regular sex is much less likely to have, like, violence and, you know, bondage and all the crazy shit you can find in porn. The odds of you having regular sex like that every night are slim. So your brain gets so used to watching that type of porn that that's how it's feeding you. And it's hard for you to give that up. And it's hard for you to get that same joy from a regular person, like a regular naked woman.
Yeah, and that's how dopamine is. Yeah, the dopamine levels increase the more you go in a little bit more exotic. In other words, the more you don't go down the rabbit hole, the more dopamine you get. And that's how it's just overload for the human brain. The human brain was not designed to go through all that. That's just too much. It's no different from a porn addict compared to somebody who's on drugs. The dopamine levels are all jacked up.
Yep. That's 100% the case. Yep. Yeah, I'm really excited to share Self-Crafted Kings with you when she comes on. We haven't scheduled a day because she's got, like, big stuff coming. And, you know, it just stole her space from us tonight. All right, I'm going to put in a link to Self-Crafted Kings in the chat. This would be a good resource for anybody who, you know, if you know someone who's still addicted to porn and wants to get unaddicted to porn. Because the thing is, the cops are never going to take that stuff down. They're never going to take any of it down. So if you are not watching out for it, it's all out there. And from the time Greg clicked on he clicked on a place in the Ukraine that was a modeling agency, and they were telling the parents, well, one of the things we want in our portfolio is some naked pictures. So the parents just thought that they were doing this for their kids, future as a model. Well, they didn't, of course, tell the parents that they were then going to put their porn out, for the world to see. But anyway, from the day that he clicked on it to the day that they showed up and arrested him was like a year. And I think that's because they have a year's worth of cases already lined up. And I think every day, every morning, they just go arrest one more, this posse of people goes and arrests, and they just kind of trace it around the country because that's what we do here in America. We put people in prison.
Well, what the way it works is they have a monitoring software server. So, like in the Playpen case, so what they do is for any connection that goes to their server that's hosting all this stuff, they monitor the duration, they monitor what you download, and some of these trauma servers have age ranges. And what that software does, it comes out with a risk factor of how much of a threat you come into the community based on your habits, your downloading habits, your preferences. And so if you're in the red zone, let's say per se, and you're an 80 and you're constantly on these sites hours and hours on end, constantly downloading child pornography and such, if you're that high risk factor, they will come after you. But if you come across these sites and you just, oh my God, what is this? And you just swipe left or whatever, they you typically won't come after you because it's all about
I'm
percentage.
telling
That's
you, my partner had 9 images of 15 to 17-year-olds, post-pubescent teenagers. It's just having 9 images of post-pubescent teenagers is enough to make you so scary that they should come and arrest you. I'm just saying, I'm sure, yes, they do
My
that.
case was 15 years ago too, so or no, almost 20 years
Well,
ago.
if your case was 20 years ago, maybe there just weren't as many of you, and now it's like, oh, well,
But
we
also,
can't arrest them
is
all.
I actually joined a website so that,
Well, that was, 20 years ago, that's what people did.
so
Yeah.
I think, well, and keep in mind too, if they don't find anything illegal on your computers, they will get you for known access,
I don't know what that
meaning
means.
that, and it's a new charge now. I have a friend who was locked up for it. So in other words, he came across these sites or whatever site he came across, and they took his computer, they did a whatever a computer forensic like they did mine. They couldn't find nothing, so they decided to give him known access, meaning that you knew you accessed this illegal site.
Well,
So it's
they
a way.
couldn't find anything on his computer. They had
Yes.
all the other
Oh,
yeah.
right. Because it's probably different than 20 years ago. You probably actually had to download stuff. Yeah, I bet that's
So
it.
now all known access now.
Okay, so Mario, someone in the chat is asking me for links to the stuff that I thought I sent out last night, your anti-polygraph forums and your recording. Do you have those handy that you put them in the chat?
I'm not on the actual chat. I email
Oh, okay.
these
So
links.
yeah. Well, I'll go back to my emails. I just want to make sure that they're
Yeah.
separate because
Well, I mean my wife
okay,
emailed,
there
but yeah,
that one
so
that one's that one's that one's that one works. So I'll put these
yeah,
in the
there's
chat
two.
right now. So the first one I
Yeah,
have is his forum, antipolygraph.org. That's a forum. And then the second thing he sent me was the recording he made of his, I think it was his therapist.
there should be two links, one of Five to Life, and there should be one where I was talking about
Drew,
the
drive.google.com.
yeah, has a whole bunch of Google links to download my recording and information.
Yeah.
And I can always have my wife resend it if necessary, but
Well,
yeah,
I have been getting caught up on my audio files on the internet. So I'm going to paste in here. We always record the war room, not always, but we usually record the war room. But it took me a while to like I used to have this volunteer who would like listen to them and
Yeah, if you could
cut
bleep
out
my name, that'd be.
edit out the names, if someone says
Yeah.
your last name, Because I sometimes I'm dumb and I just forget to, if your name says, Emily Horowitz, I'm going to use both of those words. I can't not read it.
Yeah.
But I, he
Yeah,
wrote me a
not.
program and now I can do it quickly. And I have a volunteer who's meeting with me on Thursday to take that off my plate, which will be
Yeah.
awesome. Anyway, I'm gonna put a paste this in the chat right now. This is the link you would click on. This will take you to where all, like 19 old speakers will be listed there. So if you want to see the one about the polygraph or okay, Candace is asking, could I send out meeting reminders when you have more of these meetings? Okay, so we have these meetings every 2 weeks. I think we skip the last, if there's 5 Tuesdays in a month, I think we skip the fifth one. I think we do second and fourth, I think. And Candace, if you just get on Ward's website and click the donate button, you don't have to donate a lot of money. You could literally donate $1. It'll add you to my list. Chuck's gonna yell at me for saying that. No, really, pay what you can afford because, we gotta pay the bills. But if you get on there and just make a donation of any amount, you'll get added to my email list. So when I say, oh, next week's speaker is gonna be so and so, and we're gonna talk about such and such, and I hope you join us, you'll get those emails straight from me. So if anybody doesn't normally get those messages, when I think about it, when I have a lot of time in my week, I will get on like Offender's Wife Community and I'll post or I'll mention it at a coalition meeting or something, but I'm not always great at that. And so sometimes I forget. And you're lucky if I send out the email at all. This week I was not so good. But this week wasn't really my fault. This week it was because the speaker wanted to cancel and then it took me a while to like find somebody else. But I do my best. Okay, someone asked, Pam asked, what is the article name and location to read it that the presenter spoke about? Oh, Pam, I think the two links that I just pasted in there, the one at 8:15 and the one right after that, the antipolygraph.org and the drive.google.com, those two are his.
I think my wife is working on the thing too. There's two. If you go to
Wives the
NIPolygraph.org.
best, Mario. Are
I'm
wives
sorry.
just not the best? Are wives the best thing ever? Like, how lucky are you guys all to have a wife that does this kind of shit for you? Very
Wow.
lucky. You should tell that wife that a lot. All of you should.
Yes, I get caught up on this stuff, but yes, I definitely want to make sure that I do want to show gratitude for her.
100%. And,
Definitely.
for those of us who are lucky enough to have a partner on the registry, there's a lot of like maintenance work and repair work that needs to be done on that person just from the harm caused to them by the universe. So the women that you find to love you, we are really awesome women and you should love us up hard because we put a lot of work into y'all and
There
sometimes
is
you
this thing,
pour a little back.
there is this thing, when you're incarcerated or when you're deathbed, the people who are there, you want to keep them close. And I think really true is that she was there during my incarceration and part of my family as well. So I just worked even better.
And when you're undergoing this kind of harm from the system all the time, keeping your own cup full is hard. So that's why it's really helpful to have loved ones in your life who are willing to pour a little bit in. But every once in a while, like, giving is good for you. Giving to other people. And obviously you, Mario, have chosen to give a lot of yourself. You're putting yourself at, you serve 7 extra months to get the information that you are now sharing with the universe. That is an amazing choice to make with your life because I tell you what, most guys that get out, they have to spend at least some time just like hiding from the world and trying to not be seen. And
Yeah.
it's a real shame. So I really appreciate your, willing to take some, do some work and take some chances on your own, be hated by your judge, be hated by your PO, because this is the right thing to do. And that's 100%
Then
why I feel like working for war is so valuable. Like we're clearly on the right side of history,
yeah,
someday
thank you.
people will see that. Someday people will be like, oh my God, you remember back when we used to use the penile plethysmograph to see if people were a like I read a story just this morning. The kid was 19, his partner was 15, and they make him use a penile plethysmograph to see if he's attracted to minors. Like it was his peer. He was attracted to his peer because he was a teenager, you dumbasses. You know what I mean? Like, why would we ever
Wow.
assume that? Galen spent 7 years in solitary confinement for a 16, 19 thing. It's like ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and honestly, you know, I've been taking these calls on the helpline for 2 years now, and if I wasn't already convinced that there are a lot of people on this list who like didn't do anything wrong. I have so many stories. I could just go on all night, you know. The guy in Hawaii who swiped right, you know, fucked all day, several days in a row, and on day four, the girl changed her mind. She just changed her mind. You know, he's got pictures of them smiling in their bed the first 3 days, but on day four, you know, shame related to sex. So she was an adult, he was an adult, they're both in their 20s. What's illegal about that? Why did we raise, and honestly, this is what we do to our kids. If we're raising kids to just think about sex as a danger and a bad thing, we are not raising adults who are gonna have a good relationship with sexuality. Why don't, like, sex is great. Why don't we want our kids to know that sex will be great when you're old enough to know how to not get, I mean, there's a lot of things you gotta know. There's a lot of reasons that you don't, you know, drive when you're seven. You're just not really old enough to make decisions. But you don't have to make them feel shamey about it. You know, the whole time I was raising my kids, at every juncture, I would stop and think, how did my mom do this? And then I would do it the opposite way. You know, I just, you know, from the get-go, I was like, sex is great. Everybody who can have sex is having sex. People who aren't having sex probably wish they were having sex. That's just the truth of the universe, you know. My kids are both awesome. You know, they've both grown up with a real sex positive philosophy. You know, nobody feels yucky about sex. Like the idea of why should you feel yucky about sex? That's just a way, it's feeding the wrong wolf, you know?
Well, and that's the thing about that is that one thing about control is using fear and shame. And when people believe these lies, people are controlled, you know, and that's the sad part about it. So sad.
Well, I really look forward to you meeting Joey because Joey is you two are going to get along great, and he's basically starting a whole program that's all about like self-love and you know understanding how to communicate and you know just the emotional maturity that we don't really we sometimes limit boys because we get so gendery about what we expect from our young boys compared to our young girls. And it just messes them up, you know? Like all human emotions are human emotions. There's not like girl emotions over here and boy emotions over here. Like humans are humans and we should have access to all the emotions. When we raise boys to be like, oh, don't cry and don't be a pussy and we're not teaching them to be full human being, you know, creatures. And they're gonna have emotions. And they're going to have female partners who want them to communicate their emotions, you know?
Yeah,
So
definitely.
we should be raising them to understand their own emotions. So a minute ago I put
My wife
in the chat.
put two.
Oh, good. She put two more. Okay.
Hopefully, you guys. First one is the Fight of Life. The second one is my story on that website. And that second one is actually where the court found out and probation found out that I put it on the internet.
Ah, yes.
The
Well, you
one
know
where
what?
I don't,
You served 7 months for that, right?
I technically served 7 months because I recorded my therapy sessions, which they don't allow that for obvious reasons.
Right.
And I
Well,
will
what I'm saying
wish,
is thank you. Thank you for serving 7 months to put this information out for the universe. And it's been determined that they cannot make you take it down, right? You've served your time. It can stay up.
It would be a First Amendment violation if I know. I was actually hoping they would tell me to take him down so I could sue him. But no, Jim, my judge is pretty smart on that part.
Good, good. At 8:15, I put a thing in the chat about war room recordings. One of the recordings on that page, Mario, is about this movie that I showed called The Mask You Live In. That's all about basically how we raise boys and how it kind of messes with them and how we should raise boys differently. That chat, it's called The Mask You Live In, a documentary about how our definition of masculinity is harming boys and men. It's a good one. So if any of you have missed that night in October last year, that's worth watching. And if you would like to actually watch it as a movie, I could arrange that. I paid some money to like own it because I was like, oh, this is awesome information the universe should have. So far, I've only those two times, but just call me and I can give you like the code or I don't know how I have to do it. I have to do a thing, but I'd be happy to save it.
Wow.
That for any of you. I'm going to put my phone number in the chat and my email. And if you ever want to watch that movie for free, or if you just want to call and talk to me, or if you want to be one of my videos. So Mario, I emailed to you the speech that I gave in DC, which explains my big plan, which I think you will love. So make sure you watch that and then contact me and we'll be in touch.
Definitely will do.
All right. We only have one more minute. Do we have any last minute questions? I'm going to teach you all how to save the chat because there's a lot of good information in the chat. If you have a question, raise your hand. So if you go to your chat, there's three little dots at the top. Click on those three dots and then you say save chat. And then once we shut down, it'll just like show up magically on your screen and it'll be like the link to Mario's website and the link to whatever and my number and my email and all the things that you need. And you can call me, I mean, not anytime. I don't answer the phone when I'm underwater or asleep, but anyway, Mario, thank you for taking the evening to share your night with us and share us all this really good information. I will find a way to get this. I don't know how to put things on our website, but Chuck does. So maybe we can get this put up on the website, Chuck. This seems like a really valuable thing the world should have.
Definitely. I just want to put one last note. Let's say if people don't believe me on this Fight or Life article, I would advise them to go up to their PO, as I did, and say, I'd like you to tell me how 5-2-life works. And if they choke, then you know I'm right. Try it.
Yeah. Or don't.
Because I get
don't poke the bear.
Choke.
Don't poke the bear. Don't poke the bear. You don't want them to know that you're a bad guy. I mean, honestly, being a bad guy is a scary thing. You know, right now in the world where they're like deporting people left and right, I kind of feel like who's next? After they send away all the people that don't look like them, who's next? I think it might be us.
Yeah, that's how it works. That's how it usually works.
Yeah, first they came for the Jews. I did not speak up because I was not a Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no group of people more hated than us, you know?
You know, it's all about, but that to me, that's a good thing because that's when you love yourself even more.
No, for sure. Self-love is the beginning of all of it.
Exactly. The more hate they gave you, the more love you love yourself and the more you stand up to it.
Yeah, so, no, for sure. All right. Love you all. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
See ya.